one day God will show me what I need. Right now, I'm not so sure about myself. Will I ever turn and face myself and learn to fly?
Connection. Mahalo to all the listeners of Pal Talk and BBSRadio.com. You will definitely want to take note of these call-in numbers, and they are toll-free 877-270-8714 or 888-861-3519, and our direct lines are same area code, and that is area code 530-876-9026 or 876-3223 and 413-4515. I am so thrilled about this show this evening, and yes, I do indeed have a bio sitting in front of me, but I would like to personally share my own bio with each and every one of the listeners this evening about this young lady that we have on our show tonight. It is a real privilege and an honor to have this opportunity to actually have her on this show. And as the show unfolds this evening, you will understand perfectly why I feel so passionately about this young lady. And what I have learned about her, not only is she a three-time radio host, TV, and author, owns her own publishing company, she is a young lady that speaks with absolute love, understands it with the core of her own being. And it's really interesting because she has allowed me as a radio host not only to step up to the responsibility and accountability to all the listeners worldwide is to remember what it's truly all about, and that's all about each and every one of you, to spread the wisdom, the knowledge, and most of all, the love that we may connect with each of your hearts with the divine truth that each of us know to be true about ourselves as individuals, because we are indeed masters. And as we bring our guest on this evening, you will find this so true about her. You will find that her energy vibration is extremely high. She has a great sense of humor. She's very in touch with not only just herself and very anchored in her own foundation, but I love this. She says, I'm a part spiritual teacher and a full-time soul stripper. Now, I love that terminology. And what's so wonderful and very refreshing for me as a host is that she feels very passionately as I do. She shares her own personal experiences with all the listeners, and so she speaks with authority. She comes with the heavenly host definitely by her side, and her words tonight will speak with that tremendous love that vibrates throughout this entire planet. She is an author of a book called You Are What You You Are What You Love. Is that correct?
That's absolutely correct, yes.
Oh, thank you. But please, without further delay, let's all give this wonderful, wonderful spirit being a warm welcome to this show, Washelli.
Well, thank you for such incredible words of love, my darling. Thank you.
Oh, I'm just so thrilled to have you. We're back together again. Isn't this great?
I know. Isn't this fun?
This is the
juicy moments of life.
Yes, it is, isn't it? Before we get too far into the show, and we will announce it periodically, and for all the Pal Talk listeners, I invite each of you to please explore my show page. I have a wealth of information, as you all always know, about me, about our guests each Tuesday night, along with their website listed as well. And it's just a wonderful site to go to. But before we get any further, Washelli, please share your website with our listeners this evening.
Thank you, Angel. You can go to the same name as the book, which is youarewhatyoulove.com, or if youarewhatyoulove.com is simply too many words, my favorite color is purple, and I only wear the color purple, and my name begins with the letter V. So you can also go to Purple V. V is in vivacious. PurpleV.com or youarewhatyoulove.com. They'll take you to the same most beautiful purple website in all of Internet land.
Yes, it is. It is. It's really nice. And you know what I found very refreshing as well is this beautiful love vibration naturally that just flows with your website. And, you know, I don't always come across that. And you and I both know as radio hosts, we visit a lot of websites, don't we?
We do.
Yes. Now, before we get into a lot of the really juicy stuff that you're going to share with our listeners today, I would like to touch on your radio shows, and also I'd like to flow into your book as well. But let's start with your radio show broadcast. And I'd like to invite all my listeners to please tune in to Washelli's radio show. It's quite refreshing, and I do know that you will walk away feeling very empowered and inspired. So please.
Thank you. That is so gracious of you, darling. I have two Internet radio shows. One is called, well, they're both called You Are What You Love. And the first You Are What You Love show is on Contact Talk Radio on Fridays from 1 to 2 Pacific Standard Time, 4 to 5 Eastern Standard Time. The second one is on World Talk Radio on Saturdays from 12 to 1 Pacific, 3 to 4 Eastern. And again, this isn't, you know, a mental memory contest. If you go to my website, youarewhatyoulove.com, and you click on Washali in Action, it'll bring up a calendar that has all the different radio shows.
Excellent. And for all my listeners as well, I do have the radio times and days as well listed on my show page, and I do encourage all of you to tune in and listen to the wonderful wisdom that Washali shares with all her listeners as well. And I can't wait for you all to come back and share with me your own personal experience and connection with Washali. Let's talk about your book real quick, because I know my listeners, just by the title alone, would be very interested in understanding a little bit more about what this book is all about.
Yeah, you know, Leilani, I wish that I could say I made up this title, You Are What You Love, but it was actually my favorite 18th century Swedish scientist mystic, Emanuel Swedenborg, who coined the phrase, it's actually a spiritual law, coined the phrase, you are what you love, and you love whatever you're giving your attention to. He coined that over 200 years ago. And as I mentioned, it's a spiritual law that our awareness, our consciousness, is our divinity. Therefore, it is love. So when we give our attention to something, we are giving it our love. And love is the most powerful force in the universe. That's why what we give our attention to is so profoundly powerful, because we are imbuing it with our love.
That's right. Ooh, that was powerful. I could really feel that. I do want to encourage all our listeners tonight to call in. You're not going to want to miss this. And let me repeat these numbers once again, and that is toll-free, 877-270-8714, 888-861-3519, same area code, 530-876-9026, 876-3223, or 413-4515. Now, Washali, would you please explain to all our listeners this evening this wonderful gift that you're going to be giving to all the callers tonight?
It's work that I call, Leilani, I call it self-emergence. Actually, that title, self-emergence, was something that Spirit kind of, when I asked, what do I call this, that's what I got, was self-emergence. And the idea with the self-emergence sessions, and when people go to my website, You Are What You Love, and they click on More About Washali, it'll bring down more of a bio about these individual one-on-one sessions that I call self-emergence, because the idea is that most people are very confused. They confuse who they are with the stuff that they're here to grow beyond. And with a self-emergence session, it's where your real self gets to emerge, and you get to strip off all the stuff that you're here to grow beyond and separate that from yourself, so that you begin to recognize, this is what I came here to grow beyond versus this is what my spiritual identity really is. Another way to say it would be, let's say we got to sit down in a room and you got to talk to your higher self for an hour, and you made the ego sit out in the hall, and the ego was not allowed to come in the room and give commentary, and your higher self could just say, this is what's going on with your love, this is how you've organized your mind, this is where you got stuck, this is where you need to grow beyond. That's what the sessions are about.
Yes, and I do want to share with all our listeners this evening as well, as I've had the honor and the pleasure to actually experience the healing for myself as well, and I could literally feel my physical body shifting to the changes that my soul was designed to let go of and make and to get into in total alignment. Can you explain to us a little bit more about the different bodies that you work with?
Yes, I'd love to. You know, one of the real interesting things in studying Ayurvedic and Tibetan Ayurvedic medicine and Chinese medicine is that I didn't study it to be a clinician. I was never interested in taking people's pulses and, you know, diagnosing. But I was fascinated by Vedic psychology and Buddhist psychology and Taoist psychology, but in a very similar way to Western psychiatry. If you want to hang out your shingle as a psychiatrist, you have to take all this medical training. You can't just go right into the psychiatric. You have to take this wade through this myriad of medical. And in the Eastern tradition, in order to get those psychiatric, psychological jewels of information, you have to wade through taking all the medical information. So I studied Indian Ayurvedic medicine, Tibetan Ayurvedic medicine, and Chinese medicine in order, that was my goal, was not to take people's pulses and diagnose an illness, but to understand Vedic psychology and Taoist and Buddhist psychology. And they have very fascinating ways to describe the ego, to describe the human condition. And they say that when we're on the other side of the veil and we're spirit and we've decided that we're going to incarnate, as we're incarnating and coming from simply purely spiritual, ethereal, into the three-dimensional realms, our spiritual makeup, our spiritual intelligence gets gradually denser and denser and denser, and there's seven levels of density. The last one, the densest level, is ultimately culminating in the physical body. That's the last of what they call the seven sheaths. And it's a sheath, S-H-E-A-T-H, a sheath like what you would put a sword into, that there are seven sheaths or seven layers that make up the human experience, the densest being the physical body and the least dense being what they call the bliss body. And in between there, there's the physical body, a consciousness body, an electrical body, an experiential body, a historical body, and there's our bliss body. And these different bodies make up our human experience. And one of the things when I'm doing these self-emergent sessions is I just show up completely innocent and ask spirit to tell me what's going on. I don't have an overlay. I don't assume anything. And plenty of times people will come to me, Leilani, and they'll say, you know, I don't even know what to ask you. I know I need a reading. I know something is up, but can you tell me what's going on? And you don't even have to have a question. When I go in, I ask spirit, you tell me what we most need to look at. And whatever.
Exactly what happened to me this morning with you.
Isn't it interesting? Because I had no previous knowledge or accessible knowledge to the information that came up.
Yes. Now, I'd like to get right into it because I really would like to have for my listeners to have the opportunity to call in and work with you. Now, one of the things I'd like to share with all of my listeners this evening is that, yes, I've had a money issue, and that was the particular issue that came up this morning. It wasn't because I was afraid of money or any of those types of issues that, you know, a lot of us, you know, may sometimes feel unworthiness or whatever. My issue lied with that if I allowed myself the flow of money, that I would lose people that I truly loved. Now, I was living from a past experience in this lifetime that I actually had, because I had the opportunity to have lots of money flow coming in and was able to comfortably do a lot of things that I had really worked hard towards. Well, unfortunately, I wasn't able to hang on to it, and that had a lot to do with because I allowed myself to buy into that if I had lots of money, people were mad at me. They were upset with me. So on that note, would you, let me check, see if we have any callers real quick. Do we have anyone on the line at this time?
Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Hello? Hi, sweetheart, who are you?
Hi, my name is Beth.
Hi, Beth, how are you, Angel?
I'm doing absolutely fine, Vishali. How are you?
I'm great. I mean, how often do you and I get to talk, Beth? I'm ecstatic.
Well, I am.
Well, Vishala, I want to let you know that I'm having a really challenging time hearing our caller. So if you could help guide me through this as well. I'd like to find out where our caller is calling from, and then I'll just let you guys go right in and start the work process.
Okay, that's great. Beth, where are you calling from, Angel?
I'm calling from Arizona.
You're in Arizona?
Uh-huh, Phoenix.
You're in Phoenix. Fabulous. We probably have about the same degrees as far as heat. I just probably have about 90% more humidity than you.
That's right. Yeah, we're lucky. We don't have the humidity. We were up to 108 today.
You know, we were probably less than that on the thermometer, but when you go out there and feel it, it was probably about 120.
Yeah.
Okay. I enjoy sweating. I'm just that kind of girl. But at any rate, Beth, my darling.
I love the heat, too, so don't feel bad.
Before we get into my need to sweat, how can I be of service to you in your life, my darling?
Well, I'm going through a difficult time. It's a time of change.
Great. All of life is a time of change, and that's what we came here to do. As the Buddha likes to say, this is a world of impermanence.
Right. This is the first time I've been on my own and had such a major change.
Okay. And was it just you would like more information about this time of change, or was there...
Well, I think in general.
Okay, just a sec, honey.
I would appreciate that, Matt.
So let me explain to all our listeners at this time why Vishali is proceeding forward with this wonderful healing. It's what she's doing is consoling with the masters and the angels around her, and they are. And she's also reading the outside layers of the body to have an open dialogue on some of the areas that is keeping Beth from moving forward in life, which is what's needed at this very moment to help her to move forward in life. So just to give you guys an idea of what's happening here at this time.
Thank you so much, honey. I appreciate that. It gives me some time without that ugly thing called dead air and radio. I'm almost there, Beth, just a sec.
And that's the ultimate sin, but please go ahead and take your time, Vishali, because I can always communicate with the listeners. Just give me a jingle when you're ready. But I also want to express to our listeners as well is that this is, you know, what you're actually witnessing right here is an open, wonderful, beautiful dialogue that there's this wonderful bond and relationship that is taking place here right now. And it's actually Beth's outer layers away from her physical body that's actually communicating with Vishali on what she needs at this time. And I just want you all to just think about that for a moment, how profound that is. Now, that said, we each and every one of us do indeed have the ability to communicate with these outside layers. And once we can build that relationship and have that open dialogue, we can move mountains in helping ourselves. So I hope that makes sense to all of you.
Perfect, honey. Thank you so much. That was apparently, you're working with the masters, because as I got the last bit of information, you were completing your last sentence. That was perfect. But then we live in heaven, and perfect timing is we be perfect timing. That's our job.
Yes.
So, Beth, let me tell you what I'm getting, Angel, that your life purpose in this particular incarnating, in this particular life, because we have many lives, and each life that we take has got a purpose behind it about something we want to practice, something we want to heal, something we want to gain spiritual maturity and mastery in. And in this particular life, one of the things that you really wanted to practice was your relationship with your power. And you wanted your relationship with your power to start moving into experiencing it as a direct, tangible relationship regardless of the gyrations of the physical world. Or another way to say that is you wanted to start practicing owning your power unconditionally, no matter what conditions the physical world threw at you. Can you do it now? Can you do it now? Can you do it now? Your response is, excuse me, but apparently you haven't heard. I don't have power. I am power. And that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. And I called the planet Earth the arena that we come to practice owning our divinity in an environment that we cannot fake. This is the you cannot fake it, keep it real arena. If, you know, forget New York. If you can do it here, you can do it anywhere.
Exactly.
And the first thing that I wanted to say is that in my book, You Are What You Love, one of the things that I try to flesh out is that we are doing one of two things as a spiritual creature having a human incarnation. We are either creating a new response to our old issues and our old limitations and our suffering and the things we're here to grow beyond. We're either creating a new response to them of growing beyond, or we're recreating them ad nauseum. And I know everybody that's listening can relate to, I feel like I just can't grow beyond this issue. I'm constantly worried about this. My mind constantly gets drawn back like there was a rubber band attached to it, to this worry thought pattern or this level of insecurity, whatever it is. We all know what it's like to recreate some problem that haunts us. And we all know what it's like to grow beyond something. So the more spiritually healthy you are, the more you're creating a new response to your limiting issues. And where your spiritual health needs development is where you're not creating a new response to it, but where you're recreating that level of suffering over and over again. Does that make sense, Beth?
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense.
Great. This is what's up with you right now. Whatever your details are in the physical world, whatever those drama elements are, this is what it's really about. It's about getting to Beth on a feeling level, not an intellectual level, because we're not talking intellectual. Intellectual is the most superficial levels of knowing. People can know that they're an alcoholic, they can know they're overeating, and just knowing it doesn't change anything. You have to go to where they feel their life. And this is about you feeling that you do not have value and power and worth. You are it. Because you do not have love. You are love. And no one and no thing on this earth has the power to change that. Your spiritual identity is divine love and wisdom. You brought that with you when you came to the earth plane to experience yourself in a three-dimensional vehicle. You will take that with you when you leave. But most of us don't live from that place of integrity. I don't have love. I am it. I don't have value, power, and worth. I am it. When we go to divorce court, we lose our relationship with love. When we can't pay our bills or we lose our job or we're in some state of flux, our power goes right out the door. Because most of us base our relationship with love and value and power and worth on the movement of the temporal world, and that is to build the foundation of our house on sand. Because this world is constantly changing. That's its nature. It's supposed to change because you're supposed to own what you are unconditionally in the midst of the change. So what this is about, whatever the details are, whatever the dynamics in the external world really are, what they're really about is Beth feeling, I have the power to thrive. This is about you connecting and owning and claiming that the power to thrive is inherent in who you are, and no one and no thing has the power to change that. And what I'm getting is I talked about in the sheaths, your historical sheath, the sheath, the layer of consciousness where you store your historical information. There's charges that say, you know, I don't have the power to thrive. It gets circumvented by this. Or if that doesn't go right, then I can't do it. Or if this person doesn't give me what I need over here, then the power to thrive is completely out of my hands. And that's not true. That's not what you are. That's not your greatest truth. That's the stuff you're here to grow beyond. And what I want you to do is this, my love. If you've got something to write with, write this down. I want you to write down, because I want you to push this through your nervous system, push it through from your mind, through your nervous system, through your hands, to a piece of paper. I do not have value, power, worth. Because when we have it, it implies it could be taken away or stolen or misplaced. I do not have value, power, and worth. I am value, power, and worth. I don't have it. I am it. And no one and no thing has the power to change that on this planet. Here's the second thing I want you to write down, and I want you to put this on your heart. So when stress comes and your heart starts to break, this is the wisdom that falls right into your heart because you placed it right on your heart. This is what my favorite mystic, Emanuel Swedenborg, says about the spiritual side, about divine love and wisdom. He says that divine love and wisdom has created this planet. So only what you need, when you need it to grow and evolve and awaken, is allowed to touch your life. If what's happening, if there's... You ever know a family where cancer runs in the family, but some people in the family get cancer and some people don't? I mean, right. What's that about? The people that don't get cancer didn't need that to reach enlightenment. The people that did need it. So only what you need, when you need it, will ever be allowed to touch your life, touch your nervous system, or show up on your radar. So what that means when you're claiming, I don't have value and power and worth, I am it. What's behind that is everything that shows up in this life is working for me, or it wouldn't be allowed to exist. I'm the senior force of love in this equation. This situation is not more powerful than I am. I'm the senior force of love. It's working for me, or it would not be allowed to show up. I am power unconditionally in this moment because I claim my identity as divine love and wisdom. And that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Does that make sense, Beth?
It makes a lot of sense because I've been telling myself that I just give everything to the universe, and I know that I've not been given anything that I will not handle.
Absolutely. And if you don't have this experience to claim your power and to experience yourself having the power to thrive and choosing that power, you'll never know that you are it. And one of my favorite sayings is, if you can't imagine that you are unconditional power, you'll never know that you are.
Exactly.
So, wow. Honey, go out there and thrive. Know that this is all about you having the glorious opportunity to experience yourself as powerful beyond the motion and gyrations of this world. And I'm asking everyone who's listening to this program to imagine that Beth is somebody that you love deeply and you care for immeasurably. And I want you to see Beth One right now as a radiant force of unconditional power that's come to bless this planet and raise our vibration and claim our truth. Thank you, my darling.
Absolutely.
Thank you so
Beth, let us know how you're doing. I see you frequently, so just let me know.
Yeah,
as
you do.
As time
you do.
Goes
Thank
on,
you.
Okay?
All right. Thank you very, very much, and
Vaishali. Thank
you,
Beth.
Namaste,
Angel.
Bye-bye.
Good stuff, Vaishali. Let me see if we have another caller. Do we have another caller on the line? I just love it. Can you hear the wolves?
I can. They are such excitable children. They're the children of the full moon.
Yes. So do we... Okay, well... Then let's do this, Waishali. Let's find some other area within Leilani that we can work on as well. I'm sure I got tons of stuff that I could be working on.
You know, the truth of the matter is, Leilani, we all do. We all do, because the purpose of coming to the earth is to have a tangible arena that we can't fake it in, practice environment to growing beyond whatever we need to. So if you're on the planet Earth, if you find that your consciousness is in some bag of protoplasm, if you find your charming butt glued to this planet, that means there's work for you or you wouldn't be here. And there are plenty of people I know that come up to me and say, well, I freed myself of all my karma and I have no more to work on. And I just laugh and say, well, then you wouldn't still be here, darling. But if you're drawing breath, apparently there's a purpose in your being here, or you would have moved on. So we've all got something to work on. I always take off my underwear every day and go, yep, got to clean yet another pair.
Absolutely, and I have to say that has been my deepest passion in this lifetime, is to really work on myself to be the best person that I can possibly be, along with preparing myself for the very near future of the actual mission that I will carry through for God and for humanity. And one of my strongest desires in this lifetime is indeed to ascend. So every time I have that opportunity, I'm usually the first person in line. I'm ready, I'm ready.
I'm with you, honey, I'm with you.
Yes.
One of my favorite stories.
Let me give everyone your website real quick before we get started.
Go ahead. I'd like
to invite all my listeners to really explore Waishali's work. She's just got some wonderful, wonderful knowledge and wisdom to share with all of you. She has a great publishing company. She's got... I'd like to remind all of you about her wonderful book, You Are What You Love. Her website is www.youarewhatyoulove.com. Or you can actually go to purplevictory.com. So, and when you get ready to explore the wonderful information that she has to share with all of you, take a moment that you can spend some quality time exploring and not having to rush yourself through, because she's got a lot of great juicy stuff on there. I do want to remind all of you, she is also a wonderful radio host with worldtalkradio.com, also with Contact Talk Radio as well, so you'll have total access on the internet to listen to her shows. I do have that posted on my show page. So, dear heart, are you ready to get started?
I am, and this is really, really good. This is a piece that, you know, God bless you, Leilani. This is, I'm so glad that you're so willing to step up and just say, let's do it, because this is a piece that everybody who's listening needs to hear and can relate to. This is one of the things that I love about the human experience, is that it's universal. And that's one of the things I love about doing these sessions over the radio, is because when one person calls up and says, I need to look at something, everybody in the audience to some degree needs to hear it, because it's a universal experience.
Yes, and yes. And it's interesting, I know my listeners are having a bit of a challenge on their end, and a lot of them got thrown off the internet, and so they've all been scrambling to get back on, bless their hearts. And I want to say I recognize all of you guys' great efforts. I do know what has happened here, and so thank you for all your love and support for yourselves, and then to Waishali and myself as well. So, and you bet, Waishali, because if I have the courage and the strength through my own actions, it helps our listeners, our sisters and brothers worldwide, to give themselves permission that it is indeed okay to step up and heal themselves.
And that there's absolutely nothing wrong with getting down to our spiritual business, which is growing beyond any limitation. There's no shame in that. There's no stigma in that. That's just spiritual maturity is saying, I'm just going to focus on growing beyond where I have the greatest opportunity to do that, and that's in a body.
That's right.
And I want to go back to what I got here, Angel. This is so good. This is so juicy. I want to go back to this notion that we're either creating a new response to our issues, our limitations, or we are recreating them. And what you want to do here, this is actually something in the electrical body. And it's really interesting because Western medicine, to some degree, knows we have an electrical body, but they don't admit it. They know we have an electrical body because if you have a heart attack, they take out a defibrillator and they run an electrical charge through you to get your heart beating again, to get it rhythmic again. But at the same time, if you were to tell them a person has an electrical body, they would deny it. It just never ceases to amaze me how myopic that system is. So on some level, we know it, but they're not honest about it.
I do know that that is for a fact because, you know, I've been taking classes for quite some time, being initiated into the White Brotherhood, even though I already know that I'm a part of them. Now, one of the biggest joys that I've had is I've learned how to reconnect the DNA strands and all the elemental bars and all the four directions. Now, that said, that is one of the things that we've really learned is that about that electrical body.
Yes, and that it affects and governs a lot physiologically. And even though it's an ethereal level that it can't be measured by an MRI, there's no EKG for it, you can't regulate it like you can a pulse. It's ethereal, but it does regulate a great deal of our nervous system and our neurological function. And what's in the electrical body is this. What you want to do is you want to create a new response to innocence. And this is the quality of innocence I'm talking about. You know that statement, Leilani, that Jesus made that you must be like children to enter into the kingdom of heaven?
Oh, yes. You are so right on, Washali. Because I did lose that about myself when I came here to the mainland.
And
I knew the moment it left me.
You felt it?
Yes. And I have been searching for so many years for that part of myself again, that innocent childlike behavior, that joy and happiness that comes along with that childlike, the joy of expression of playing and laughter and all those wonderful things. And I have spent years telling people around me, I lost a part of myself and I felt it leave me. And I so desperately want it back.
It's that spontaneous joy that has no intellectual underpinnings. It's simply a heartfelt, spontaneous connection that's not childlike, but it's not childish in temper tantrums or self-absorbedness, but it's childlike in its innocence. It's not an intellectual or judgmental state of existence. And
yes,
one of the things that I love about Emanuel Swedenborg is that he says that on the other side, because his job was to map out the spiritual realm and to talk about why this level of heaven is different from this level of heaven, which is different than this level of heaven. And what's really revolutionary about him, yes, he was born the son of a Lutheran bishop, but in the 1700s, there was no concept of there being levels of heaven. That's very Taoist and very Buddhist, but that kind of philosophy, Eastern philosophy, had not made it to Sweden at that time. Nobody had ever heard of levels of heaven or levels of hell. But Swedenborg went to the other side and he saw them and he wrote about them and he talked about them. And he said that the highest level of heaven is an extremely honest level. There's no lying. There's no fudge factor there. Whatever is the honest truth is what is absolutely spoken. So if you're not comfortable in a crystal clear, honest level of life, you will move yourself out of the highest level of heaven because you won't be comfortable with that level of honesty. And when you look at little children, there's no intellectual or judgmental level. If they think your butt is too big, they'll tell you they think your butt is too big. If they think you're funny, they'll tell you if they think you're funny. They're completely honest.
And now, Charlie, you're about to get me into trouble. You know why?
Why?
Because I'm more and more expressing how I feel. And when I see, okay, let me just back up here for just a moment. Before, I suppressed it and I wouldn't say anything and I would move on. But as time went on, I realized that I was hurting myself and myself only. And it wasn't really my issue that others could not handle the truth. Now that said, I actually really have stepped up to speaking what I feel and what I feel is my truth at the moment. And boy, oh boy, is that ever stirring up some serious stuff.
Yes, because the charge in the electrical body is I cannot move into that level of lucid, naked, childlike honesty because it will cost me respect. That if I'm that innocent, that I will suffer getting respect in the outer world. There were people that will have a hard time respecting this level of somebody that is this uncomplicated, that is this forward, that is this direct. And what we're wanting to do is reorganize the electrical body and let the electrical body re-educate itself, and we're wanting to give it a new definition that childlike innocence equals honesty, complete heartfelt honesty. And that means that that level of honesty does not coexist in the same mind or the same temperament or the same consciousness as judgmental. So
yes.
Most people in the world, you'll notice in the Western world, the more judgmental you are, the more respect it appears that you command, or the more that you're invoking a level of respect. The more that I'm just thinking about different people in our culture that are very big on being judgmental.
Now, that brings up another very important factor as well, because now that word judgment.
Yeah.
You know, for us to really understand how we choose to judge others, we'd have to truly understand not only the definition of judgment, but what, you know, and how many different levels or ways that we judge, okay?
That's good. Yeah, I'm glad I'm glad you're opening the door to this. This is important, right?
Oh yeah, see, that's Leilani for you, because it's really important for my soul personally to really ascend and to be the best person I can be. And you know, there's times when I think I'm not being judgmental, and oh my goodness, I just was. So, and there's just, it's so tricky because there's this fine line, like we all understand the fine line between love and hate.
Yes.
Are you there?
Yes. And no, you're absolutely right. There's a tremendous slippery slope when it comes to judgment. And as Swedenborg, the reason I keep going back to him is I think that he said it better than anyone else, and if I felt that somebody else said it better than him, I'd be stealing their words instead of stealing Emanuel Swedenborg. But Swedenborg is both public domain, and I think he's the best person to steal from, and I only steal from the best. And he says that what we need to embrace is that as divine love, and we're all divine love, that no one can create a learning experience they did not need. You can't create a learning experience you didn't need. I can't create a learning experience I didn't need. I mean, since we're all divine love and wisdom, and that's the most profound force in the universe, how can love and wisdom, the most profound force in the universe, create a learning experience of itself it didn't need? There's a lot of things it's capable of doing, but creating a learning experience of itself it did not need isn't one of them. So no one on this planet can create a learning experience they didn't need, and they can't create it before they needed it, and they can't create it after they needed it. So our job is to show up instead of criticizing ourselves and saying, you know, God, I could have done this better. What's the matter with me? Why can't I ever get this right? Or instead of looking at other people and going, man, what a loser, what is your problem, is to stand back and no matter what it looks like, to say, I can't judge the infinite journey of life by this one stop at this one gas station, this one convenience station. We can't, at one point in our life, determine the value of the entire road and the entire journey of life. It's simply too large to take in. So what we need to do is, instead of judging ourselves or other people, I should have done it this way, I should have done it that way, they should have stepped up to the line, they should have done this, they should have done that, is to stand back and say, you know what, regardless of how it looks in the external world, I can't create a learning experience I didn't need, and this is working for me. And if there was a better way to reach enlightenment, I would have chosen it. But apparently this is the best one because this is what I chose.
And don't you feel we lose this part of ourselves when we this stems from our earlier experiences in life where we were constantly being told, judged and criticized and all those kinds of things. So it becomes more of a defense with, like for myself, I'm, thinking I'm defending whatever I think I'm defending. So you end up losing that part of that whole innocent part of yourself. We're almost getting close to the end of the show. Can you believe it?
I know. It just flies by, doesn't it?
Yes. You know, it's so funny because every guest that comes onto this show always says exactly the same thing. So would you assist me, my sweet, sweet sister, on helping me to reclaim that part of myself, that beautiful, innocent part of who I truly am?
Absolutely, because that's what we came here to do. We came here to enjoy the opportunity of watching ourselves do this. And this is one of the things I'm really trying to flesh out in my book, You Are What You Love, is that our culture is very intellectually dependent, and it values intellectual, which is completely separate from the heart. It is completely disenfranchised from the innocence of the heart and from that innocent childlike knowingness. When we were little kids, the first thing that we were taught when we were in kindergarten is to put on our thinking cap. When we're a little kid and we have a problem and we go to a teacher or a parent or somebody older that we respect and we tell them our conundrum, they usually look at us and hit us on the back of the head and say something that's very diminishing, like, what's the matter with you? You got a brain, use it. And nobody ever says, my infinite, beautiful child of love, you came here completely, fully self-contained. You don't have love, you are love. You came here with the answers, and you came here to have the opportunity of experiencing yourself. Remember them, experience, share them, and embody them. Drop into your heart where that innocent knowingness is and give yourself the answer. Probably no adult told you that, because in our culture, we don't value and respect that innocence. We value and respect the convoluted, illusory power of the intellect, and it's misguided, and it elevates our suffering. Because the more intellectual-based we get, the more disenfranchised we get from our heart, and the more our suffering escalates. And what we're wanting to lay on our electrical body, and just talking right now, because the electrical body is listening, it's come up and it's ready for this information. Honest, direct, childlike innocence equals clarity of wisdom without the contamination of judgment. So when we choose innocence, we don't lose any respect. And anyone that is choosing to respect judgment and the toxicity of the intellect over the purity of the innocence is an engagement, an entanglement that we came here to separate from, and we can encourage that, we can be comforted by it, and we don't have to limit our growth, because our growing beyond the limitation of the intellect makes other people uncomfortable. If it makes them uncomfortable, God bless them. We're giving them an opportunity to grow beyond the intellectual confinements that they've created for themselves. We're giving them an opportunity to heal their inner child and to trust the open honesty of their innocence and to get their intellect so that it's behind them in the respect that their intellect works for them. They don't work for the intellect. The honesty is in the foreground. It's in the forefront. The intellect is called upon when it's needed, but the intellect no longer tyrannizes the inner child, and it no longer tyrannizes the clarity of absolute, pristine honesty and the power and the directness of that. Does that make sense?
Yes. Well, we're out of time. Can you believe it, Washali?
It's always the fastest hour, the one I share with you.
We will do this again. I want to apologize to all our listeners this evening. I know majority of you got thrown offline. And we're going to have Washali back again. You'll have that opportunity. I will give you my word on that. You will get to be able to really embrace yourselves and Washali's wonderful work that she is so selfishly shares with all of us. And I just want to first of all thank my guest this evening. It has been a real privilege to have this opportunity to have you with us this evening. I know the listeners are thrilled. A lot of them unfortunately got thrown offline this evening for whatever reason. And we'll do it again, everybody. But I just want to remind each and every one of you, God loves you right now, right here, right this very moment, and always has. Always remember to love thyself with all the passion you have within you, and let it explode with joy and happiness. And remember that you are indeed the great, mighty I Am presence. For you are the power and the intelligence of you, your worlds, and activities. Love thyself with all your heart, and remember to always love your families. Until next week, be well to each of you, and may God bless you all. Good night to all.
All I want is all that I can be. And maybe one day God will show me what I need. Right now, I'm not so sure about myself. Will I ever turn and face myself and learn to fly? I've always heard that mirrors never lie, but that's not true, because I see a man but feel a child. There are some of us who can hear a voice inside, a truthful voice that says, Yes, you were born to fly. You were born to fly. Myself, what will I come to be?